And we're live.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to episode 117 of the Fans of Power podcast. I'm Tyler Baker, and Joe Amato is here, and Doug is with us in spirit. And yes. We're ready to get down and discuss dirt, love, devotion. We've got a lot of emotion on this episode, with it being close to Valentine's Day. I guess it seems quite fitting to have a lot of emotional content on this episode for the podcast.
It does. It happens. You get emotional at times. First, let me just say hello to everybody that was in the chat room. We got Wiley Collector, Christopher Dahlberg, JSP, Jackie Miller, and Nathan Kennedy. So, yeah, we got all of them in the chat room right now.
All right.
I was going to say, before we, get to the topics, like I said, we'll be doing stuff about Cringer, talking about one of the episodes of New Adventures. You know, there's a lot of different topics. But first thing I want to say is, okay, you got your vintage Battle Armor He-Man. Just wanted to show this. Because I went to GameStop at my local mall, and I was doing that I go in there at times because GameStop will sometimes have clearance on action figures, and, they're good for parts when I make customs. But I didn't know these things were out, and this caught me off guard, but damn it, they had Scorpion from Mortal Kombat. I think that's cool as heck. It is a cool figure in, size comparison. You can see they're pretty much basically the same size, but I like this, man. I was like, that is cool for the, 5.5 inch, and, because I also hear people at times say, I'm done with 5-inch, style figures. I like the posability of the bigger figures and more articulation, but damn it, it's just cool. It's like, who cares? I can move his arms, move his legs, waist, and head, but that's a cool sculpt. I was like, I don't know. I got excited. For some goofy reason, I got so excited of the Scorpion figure from Funko.
Those are awesome looking figures, and I didn't know they were out available to buy, so I'll have to go to my local GameStop and pick up Sub-Zero.
Yeah, definitely. And you know what makes this even better? Only $9.99. These things are, we're in the day and age, when you go get an action figure, you're going to be paying $14, $22, $24. You're paying some good money, but damn, it was $9.99. That caught me, caught me off guard. I was for sure this was going to be like a $14 or $19 figure. So I get Funko props for that. And like I said, it's really good sculpting and detail on that. So heck yeah, man. Go look for Sub-Zero and whoever else they have.
All right, Joe, you're making me cut into the show here. I'm actually going to have to break in for once because... I did pick up Scorpion also.
Yes, isn't that cool as hell?
And I picked up Raiden.
Oh, no way! I didn't see... They only
and I picked up Liu Kang.
Son of a gun. Aren't those cool as hell? How much did you pay for them?
They were $10 a piece, yeah.
Yeah! Did you get them at GameStop too?
Sure did.
Isn't that cool as hell? Damn, were those the only ones they had? Or
They had Katana also, but,
Little
figures of dolls,
No, that's cool you got it, man, because, when I went there, it was only Scorpion, and Scorpion's always been my favorite character in Mortal Kombat. I just wanted to get over here! I loved it, but I did look for Sub-Zero, no Sub-Zero. There was nothing else except, Scorpion, but I thought somebody even said that there might be a Chase variant of Sub-Zero where he's just crystal blue, maybe. I could be absolutely wrong. Did you hear anything about that, Doug? Was there a variant of Sub-Zero?
I think there's, actually two, from what I heard, that there's a blue see-through Raiden, who's like the lightning bolt version, and then the see-through Sub-Zero, who's the ice.
Oh, okay. All right, man. Well, thanks for jumping in and showing those. That's cool as hell that you bought them, too. They are worth it. So anybody out there, man, you go to your GameStop and get these. Man, you can't beat that for $9. So just wanted to say that. And also, JD Gibson has joined us in the chat room. Thank you for joining us. And I just wanted to see if there's anybody else because I want to make sure I get everybody. Oh, Daniel Maynard, thank you for joining us. He said $9.99 buys a lot of chicken gizzards. Well, he knows I buy cheap food sometimes, so he thanks, Daniel. And so everybody's here in the chat room. But yeah, definitely, Tyler, if you go to GameStop, hopefully they would have Sub-Zero or any of the ones you'd get. But
Sub-Zero would probably be the only one I would desperately want to get. There's other, like Johnny Cage, Cyrax, and Jax, and Baraka. Those round out my top list of heroes and villains. Of course, I like to have a Shang Tsung as well, but I want Sub-Zero first and foremost. And God willing, we get a Johnny Cage and a Cyrax and Jax.
that those would, I mean, God, I'd hope they would continue, because I, from the card.
I mean, with Mortal Kombat, they have really expanded that roster of heroes and villains, and a toy line that looks like that, it seemed to be kind of quite well received. So I'd like to think that once this is out, it has legs, it can go and go and go. We get, you know, variants of how they looked in the first Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
Ultimate Mortal Kombat, where Scorpion's got the more kind of padded outfit as opposed to like the armor he's wearing there from Mortal Kombat 10.
Yeah, because I'd love the original. I mean, if they could have the original Scorpion and maybe head variants where it had the skull and flames coming out and his, you know, spear with the rope as an attachment, that'd be, it just shows, man. I mean, you could make something look cool as heck, even in this style that some people don't like, but heck, I mean, looking at that, I see there's nothing wrong with this. It's the first thing I've actually.
Ninjas alone, too. I mean, you get Reptile, you get Rain, you get Noob Saibot, you get Smoke. You're like, God, man, just using Scorpion alone, you get more characters. As like, this is why the He-Man sculpt or style looks so well, because you can just reuse the parts. You can reuse complete figures, just like He-Man did. So
yeah, it's a perfect gimmick. So yeah, this was all that was left. And I asked them, I said, you guys going to be getting in more? They said, well, we're not quite sure. Sometimes when we get stuff, that's it. So I don't know if that was just my store. That's how GameStop works in general. But if you guys are out there and you find them, get them while you can. They're just, yeah, you know, they're awesome little detailed things. And this is the first thing I've splurged on myself in a long time, because I went there with the purpose of buying parts for figures. And I seen this, I said, no, that's mine. Man, I'm going to buy something for myself. So yeah, so I treated myself.
Yeah, I'm probably gonna get a gift card for my brother for his birthday, and it's gonna be GameStop. So I might actually swing by the mall this week just to see if they've got those Mortal Kombat figures and get him the GameStop card while I'm there.
Oh, okay.
It's reason to go check out GameStop. Otherwise, I would just grab it at local Walmart or something like that.
No, definitely. So, and well, let me say hello also to Chris Simpson, Adam Gabbert, and Tom Charlton. They're all in the chat room. So thank you guys for joining us as well.
Awesome.
Yeah, so like I said, yeah, we got a lot of different topics. Like I said, we'll be discussing characters, certain episode of cartoon, and some other stuff. But, well, might as well talk about the other most recent topical news. Not that it's anything super special, but you heard that David Goyer is not directing the Masters of the Universe movie no more. Now, supposedly, he's still, I don't know, executive producer or writing or doing something. He has still some involvement, but we are now left again with no director of a movie that's supposed to start filming in April. So it's like, here we go again. It's me and Tyler have been used to, I mean, we've, like I said, over 12, 13, I don't know how many years it's been going on and on. See, this is for people that might be new, like listening to the podcast or back into Masters after so many years. I can understand your excitement when you hear there's a new movie coming. The reason me and Tyler don't usually do backflips and go nuts is because we've seen the pattern that's gone on for, like I said, over 13 years. They announce a movie. It doesn't happen. There's a new director, producer, writer, movie studio. You guys can't even imagine how many things it goes through where it changes. So it's not like I don't want a movie to happen. Sure, we'd love a movie to happen and for it to be great, but I just don't get excited because look, it's happened again. It just keeps happening. It's like a loop. It's like we're playing the same record. Here comes a movie. No, it's not. Here comes a movie. No, it's not. I don't know. Go ahead, Tyler. It's a shame, but that's how it is.
Not a shame. And I think by this point, even casual fans need to realize, look, dude, it's not going to happen. I don't care that they've made an announcement of a shooting date. When you have no director, you're less than 2 months from filming, and you just lost your director again, which nobody was happy to have David Goyer on as a writer, let alone a director anyway. So it's not a blessing in disguise. It's not a blessing at all. It's in the hands of Sony. Their track record speaks for itself. They don't make good movies, and they keep botching things left and right, and this is something like they've got with Venom, where they've got it and they just want to use it so they can try and make money off of, you know, a franchise or a movie rights they've got. So if for some, I don't see it happening, but if it does, it's going to be like that recent Venom trailer where this looks completely wrong from beginning to end. Everything they're doing looks wrong. I don't care if it's a teaser trailer. It looks wrong. And, I really feel like, can casual fans still keep telling themselves, like by making a point, oh, they've announced it. Well, I got to type and text. Oh, well, It's going to be good, though, guys. It's going to happen. And then they start acting like Joe years ago when Classics was struggling. Come on, guys. Just give it a chance, guys. Give it a chance, guys. Be poor. Be naive and stupid. Come on. Believe it's going to happen, guys. You know, you just want to strangle and say, shut the hell up. You know, reality sets in here, people. How many more directors have to be hired and fired, hired and fired, hired and quit? You know, before you people realize, you know, it doesn't need to happen. You know, it's a good movie by this point. It should not. It's not going to happen. This is not a cranky old man, dude. The facts speak for themselves. If Sony really cared about this property, they would have gotten somebody who was hungry to do a good He-Man movie, not someone to fill in the gap to make this, you know, a release date that the studio execs shot off at the mouth and announced it. Because if you cancel it, it makes Sony look like morons, which they already are.
Yeah, because they'll be losing that license now they try to rush it. And that is that what somebody would want?
No, I don't care who they hire at this point. You know, I'm sorry, no reasonable director is going to come on to this project. I'm sorry, we're not going to get anybody that the vast, over 90% of the fans are going to be like, wow, he directed several good movies. I'm glad, I think it'd be good. Because a good director can come in and just dismiss what David Goyer wrote on his script, because it's happened on plenty of films. You can have a legitimate, you know, good writer write a script. You bring in a new director, he may not want to use that script. He may take ideas from it, or thoughts, or suggestions, or theories, but he's not going to use that script. So, in hindsight, it's probably, you know, you can look at that. If someone has to be polypractical Joe Amato here and sit there and say something positive about this, well, a new director can come in and just ball up what David Goyer did and throw it in the shredder, trash can, toilet, whatever you want to do with it.
Which, to me, would be a perfect, that would be a perfect world for me.
Or he will still get credit because he did work on the script. Not that what he wrote is going to get used. But still, Look, people, it's if you want a He-Man movie, you need to continue to keep waiting until Sony just says, you know what, we're going to give the rights up and sell it to Universal or something like that. Because, I mean, come on, people. Do you really, really want Sony Pictures, after all these goofy-ass announcements, all these people that make these announcements and release it on the internet and various fan pages and letting people know at conventions, hey, it's coming, here's a new logo. Oh, look, we've hired a goofy actor from the Twilight films. We've got a hack director. We've got another hack director. Oh, look, we hired another hack director. We got a script. Hasn't been completely approved yet. Hey, did you see? I mean, just every announcement. Yeah. I mean, come on. In a nutshell, everything. There's nothing casual fans to hardcore fans can argue that everything we've been given is setting a proper path for a He-Man movie that is going to appease to fans and also make money.
It's not going to happen. First, let me say also hello to V-Dub and Doongi Forever in the chat room. Thank you for joining us. But, you look at that. You look at all these promises that we've supposed to have had and things that were going to be coming for this movie that just delayed and delayed and delayed. Now, again, no director, so we're still waiting on a director. They're supposedly starting to shoot in April. You have this movie that's supposed to be coming out in, what is it, November or something of 2019 or December of 2019?
December 2019 at Christmas.
Going against Star Wars. Yeah, competing against Star Wars. Like,
they shot themselves in the head.
Yeah, that's a genius move. That's why you don't want it. You don't want this movie to happen. So it's not going to happen. And now just sidetrack off of that movie. Now I'm going to talk about something else. As you know, we're always usually just having fun on this podcast. Sure, we get on a rant on this movie once in a while. Hell, we're not the only ones. Other fans do it too. But yes, we're passionate about this property. A property that we feel like deserves a lot of respect. Now, when you see a lot of people, websites, whatever it may be, disrespecting the property, so it starts spreading like a virus of like nonsense, and I'm building up to something here, then what do you think people who maybe want to work on the movie would think of this property when they see it joke so much? Because I heard that, you know, sometimes me and Tyler, we take this too serious. You know, when there's jokes, we need to lighten up. Well, you know what? No, we don't.
Who has said that about you and I?
I'll show everybody later. This came up, but this came up recently, and it was on a website. But we take things too serious, and we need to learn to take a joke. We take it too serious. Now, here's the thing. I'm going to bring up about a website, and I'm not going to name this website, but it's a comic book website that did a couple months ago, maybe 3 months ago, the 15 most inappropriate Masters of the Universe characters, which included such horrible inappropriate characters as Mossman, Stinkor, Modulok, Tongue Lasher. I was like, huh? What? What? So it's just going on and on with these stupid things. And then it saves the last one as Fisto as being the most inappropriate. And, you know, waka waka, we know what the Fisto and what that is implying when they made it. Oh, not yeah. that. Yes. Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. Nonsense stuff that they do to get people to click onto their website and their blog and hopefully it spreads. But here's the thing. When we were kids, we had Fisto. We didn't think anything like that. We're thinking of a character who's blasting through walls, knocking down evil warriors, saving He-Man or somebody that might be blocked in a cave-in or something. A warrior with a big fist that could smash the heck out of stuff that kids get a kick out of. We didn't think anything perverted. But because of this genius that 3 months ago thought it'd be funny to mock 15 characters who knows nothing about Masters of the Universe, it started spreading like a virus all over Facebook, Instagram, social media, and everybody's clicking. Hey, look, it was on this website. Oh, I remember He-Man. My brother used to watch it. Or I remember He-Man too. And yeah, Fisto is kind of perverted. I'm like, who are you people? And it's only helping making Masters look bad. And why do I still want to build this up? For this final thing to happen this week to me on my page. On my Facebook page, Tyler, I must have been, you know, linked and tagged 20 times in this picture of He-Man, like, in a sex harness, if you will, with this leg kind of up, Filmation-style looking, and Fisto next to him with his fist right there like that. Yeah. And I was like, now, see what I mean? You guys say, Joe, Tyler, you take things too serious. It's only a joke. But then what happens when this joke spreads like a virus everywhere, and then everybody picks up on it and starts making perverted stuff of Fisto and He-Man? Now you have people that definitely look at Masters like, I'm not touching this joke of a property. Look at how it's mocked all the time. So when you guys say to me and Tyler, we take it too serious and we need to take, you know, learn to take a joke. No, not when it's in poor taste. Me and Tyler will rib each other, just like people in the chat room. We can rib each other back and forth for fun when we know the property and it's not that perverted or something. But when you get these people that are clueless of Masters and think they know these characters, it wrecks and spoils the property. Because these same people who know Masters showed a picture of Rock-On in, oh, Rock-On also was one of the characters that was, you know, inappropriate. But they showed Rock-On and called him Stondar. I was like, okay, you lost points right there because you're showing Rock-On, calling him Stondar. And later in that article, they talked about both of the Comet Warriors and they spelled Rock-On with two X's, Roxxon. That's what I mean. You get these people doing it. So you bet. If something is disrespecting the property, me and Tyler are going to speak up, we're going to do it. But it's not funny. It's in poor taste. That's why we do this, because we don't like things being mocked. But go ahead, Tyler. But I had to say that because, man, it rubbed me the wrong way when I read that.
I mean, look, I'm going to tell you right now, Joe and I aren't experts, but we'll be more than happy to tell you why you're not. You know, we take great pride in the stuff we know about this. We're always open to learning new stuff. But when you've got these pretentious douchebags who have access to a blog or a some sort of article they're given permission to write on some goofy-ass website that really doesn't have anything reputable about it and decides they want to be cute and funny and start tearing apart, you know, 80s property characters. And He-Man isn't the only victim of this. Thundercats has been subject to this kind of nonsense, certain Transformer characters and G.I. Joe characters and stuff like that. And I'm like, you know, it's not funny. You're not clever. And stop trying to attach some sort of sexual joke or remark or innuendo with 80s heroes and villains as if, like, you know, what are we, you know, in middle school?
That's what it reminds me of. Yeah.
Oh, hit puberty again where everything has got to have some sort of sexual connotation to it? Because, oh, man, he made like a fist in the butt and he's talking about wieners and stuff. Like, I get it now. Like, God, you people are just a bunch of morons.
Yeah, it's childish. That's what I mean. It's just
like what Joe just said there is not doing He-Man any favors. You throw in all these goofy commercials that are mocking He-Man and making him look like, oh, well, everything to do with He-Man is a goofy, muscle-bound guy whose alter ego dresses in pink and his villain goes, meh, like a 1930s gangster. You know, so everything is pointing that no one's going to take this property seriously. Sony doesn't take this property seriously because if they did, they would have been buckling down and trying to get the best writer, the best director, and hiring reputable actors. There's no actors. And I don't, hell, I don't even know if that Kellan Lutz is even still attached to the damn thing. So as far as I know, we have no cast, no official cast, no script, no director. And here people are you know, they're like, oh, come on, guys, give it a chance. Guys, it could be great, guys. I just want to sit there and pull it, you know, slap across the face there. Yeah. You know, wake up, people.
So that's why, like I said, that's why when we get passionate about certain things.
You don't have to name names. How, when you say people are, you and I are taking our passion for He-Man way too seriously, that we need to appreciate Fisto in the butt jokes.
Well, the thing is, it wasn't per se.
Go ahead.
Well, it wasn't the Fisto in the butt joke per se, but it was basically us. I'm thinking it was probably the time when we got upset at the mocking of extend our other characters in a particular documentary that just came out. Maybe that's what I'm assuming. That's what it was.
Because we didn't like their bad jokes.
Yeah, I liked everything else. I said that Netflix, the Toys That Made Us. I loved the He-Man episode. I loved it. I just didn't like the stupid mocking of.
It sucked.
No, I just didn't like the mocking. I liked.
Everyone's entitled to their opinion. These guys who said this about us, they're entitled to ours. We're entitled to ours as well.
No, sure. That's what I would say. Everybody is.
Now, I'm just trying to verify. When you say this, are you saying like one or two squeaky wheels said this, or you had like an...
It was a squeaky wheel, but I get triggered.
This is what bothers me about today in popular culture. One person complains and everybody retools. You know, I'm like, that's not enough to...
I trigger, but like I said, I get triggered when I see something. When I see something and I know it's targeted at me or somebody else, I get triggered, but I'm still cool.
And of all the people that listen to our podcast, and yes, we are opinionated about this, but we don't go out of our way to hurt people. We made that mistake before. We're not going to do it again. But, I mean, come on. It's... One person says that we need to learn to take jokes and appreciate.
Tyler, that's me. You know what's weird is Tyler will go on some of the most biggest rants, but I'm the quickest to get triggered. If something irritates me, I'm set off. I have flashbacks of, so I get worked up. And sure, I mean, I've seen the comments even on Facebook once in a while where like, just relax, just calm down. So that's where that came from. But besides all that nonsense, real quick, first.
Sure, that when you sit there and people who are listening to this sit there and say that people have said it, like, we want to make sure that people is really one person.
Well, sure. There's one, but there could be others.
The norm that anytime one person complains, we have to recast, we have to recall, we have to redo, we have to reshoot because...
Well, the thing is, when somebody can read that, others can then feast off of that too. That's why I just say what I have to say because I know others can follow. So I'm going to, sure, if some, that's their opinion. But I'm also going to say why I'm saying what I say. This is my opinion. So I want to say that. Everybody can have, you know, have their opinion. But also, Josh Hale, what's up? Josh and Michelle, Delva78. I'm getting everybody in the chat room that I missed while we were ranting. Necropath, how you doing? Thanks for joining us. What Geeks Do? I just said Delva78. Kimmy Craft is here and Grimbot. Also, I think I got it. Oh, wait. Candela Winks blog. And, that's a good question. In the chat room, Candela Winks blog said, how do you guys feel about the robot chicken skits? I just get the biggest kick out of those. That's just fun. I love seeing those things.
I haven't watched Robot Chicken in years, but I found them to be all right. I didn't find them to be irritating or bothersome.
I love them.
Yeah, no, even with all I got what they were doing, it didn't come off to me like they were making fun of He-Man, Thundercats, and G.I. Joe, and so on and so forth. What bothered me is that they were destroying vintage toys for their skits and stuff like that.
Hey, what the heck? You know, I mean, you could think, hey, they can either throw them away, use them for customs, or just do that. Oh, man, Robot Chicken. I mean, some of the ones like where, what was that? I think He-Man got killed, and then I think Orko got the power sword and became super powered and killed the sources or something. There's so many where they're at the gym. Oh man, those are great. I wish they'd put all those on a volume, all those He-Man skits of Robot Chicken on one thing. That's the stuff I can find funny because they're doing it with all the toy properties. It's just a fun, silly, you know, Robot Chicken. Yeah, I get it. But
That I get. I don't feel like what they're doing a disservice to He-Man. So no, I've been cool with that. I always have been.
Yeah, and yeah, I've always been fine. And Jackie Miller said,
yeah, we don't think all you know fun that's had it with He-Man or at He-Man's expense is irritating and bothersome. Robot Chicken is a You know, I mean, it's no different if like South Park was doing some sort of He-Man joke on their show and stuff like that.
And Seth Green, I mean, he's a kid. I mean, he grew up like we did, and he's a fan of all the 80s stuff, so he gets it, and he's just having fun with it. And that's why I can respect it. I see what he's doing. It's not anything to where he's really making fun of He-Man or Transformers to where they're like moronic or anything silly or stupid or less than what they can be. It's just fun little harmless stuff. So I get that. Yeah, I eat it up. I love Robot Chicken. Like when they did Star Wars, I think they did one that was almost like a dedicated whole DVD of Star Wars on Robot Chicken. I love that stuff.
Yeah, I got the first Robot Chicken, but I haven't watched it in God knows how long.
Yeah, and I think they just started a new season. So yeah, definitely worth it. And yeah, see, Jackie Miller in the chat room kind of knew what I was saying about, you know, the joking thing, because the problem is that person leads to 5 leads to 15. Before you know it, you know, it's nothing but a big joke. So that's what I was basically getting at. And Jackie Miller, yeah, you got what I was saying. I mean, I think everybody did, but oh, geez. So that's the ranting. Like I said, again, this wasn't one of us being mean. This was healthy. People in the chat room were doing the same thing. That's what we love. Everybody has their opinions, and it's good. It's healthy. So
there's times it's okay to be mean, and I think it's all right to be mean to those idiots who wrote that list.
That was terrible.
They've been doing it for such a long time where people have decided to be cute and funny and make fun of He-Man.
Yeah, I was like, how is Stone?
It's an inferior property.
Yeah, I just didn't get it. I was like, Stonedar inappropriate? Moss Man inappropriate? I was like, I don't even understand what you guys are talking about.
Really trying so hard to be like, I'll let you do your Fisto joke if you can come up with 10 other He-Man characters that fit this whole conversation here.
Oh,
so I'm
sure really?
That they're trying so hard to try and find something inappropriate about Zodag. Yeah, yeah, that's inappropriate too because he's got a hairy chest and you know, yeah, you know, there's nothing sleazy and slimy about that. Her. You know, I don't know, just that kind of desperation where it's like, is this even a joke?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Yeah.
Joke, or are you, you know, a goofy observation? Are you just?
I think it was the sake of clickbait. That's what it made it look like to me. It was just, hey, click on the site, now you're there. I think that's the whole purpose of half this garbage. So yeah, it was a silly list of 15 characters. Fisto, of course, was number one, but and of course, yeah, Extendar was part of it, and we know why. So it was just silly. It was absolutely silly, but
his very parts of his body extend like his wiener. Oh man, we're being so naughty with our list.
right. Oh Jesus. All right. Well. Oh, and Kendall's Winks blog. Oh wait, I think I already said. See, this is what happened when Joe rants. I get senile. I forget what I'm saying. I probably even forgot what I said at the beginning of the show. It happens. That's why I try not to lose it too much. So let's calm down, Tyler. Let's calm down. Now, Christopher Glenn Dahlberg had a question about Cringer. And I believe, and I want to make sure I'm saying it correct, and he can always correct me in the chat room, but it was something along the lines of, like, when Cringer becomes Battle Cat, why doesn't he have the memory of being Cringer or vice versa, or does he? I think that's how he might have phrased it. And if not, he can always correct me in the chat room, but either way, that was basically the lines of them, do they have the memories of each other? And I was always under the impression they do, but you go ahead with that, Tyler, since I went on a super rant. Go ahead.
No, I've always believed that there's no memory wipe when one becomes the other. I mean, it's one of those things where Cringer's afraid of everything, which is why he's even afraid of his alter ego or dreads the idea of going into battle. Yet when he gets that energy boost from the power sword, he's ready to go, and he can go and go and go and kick ass all over the place. And Cringer's the exact opposite. So there's this, you know, kind of distaste for his alter ego, because Cringer would rather lay around and do nothing and eat and run away from problems. It's just kind of one of those things where he can never embrace that, you know what, you don't have to be scared all the time. But also, that's how the character's written. It gives Cringer it's fun to see Cringer run and hide, and like in the dragon, I think it was the not the dragon invasion, Dragon's Gift, where he runs from it, and the burst in the power sword ricochets.
I like that part, but there's times he wants to, he embraces it, he knows that. You better do it now, because he's getting scared. Like, you better turn me into Battle Cat now. Like, isn't there been times that he's saying do it?
One time that I know for fact, which that's what makes it so special, is that, and I always took it as like this particular situation, Cringer sees how dangerous and scary this is. This young boy has just been abducted by this evil spirit. If you don't turn me into Battlecat, I'm getting the hell out of here. Like, just, he's telling you, you got, you know, 2 seconds. It's one of those good character moments, which good writing, thanks to Larry DiTilio, makes moments like that and makes characters like Cringer not just a one-note character. You know, it adds, you know, an extra level of personality to him, that he's not just, you know, running away, scared. Yes, that is the character, but, you know, it's good writing can add extra layers to that character.
Yeah, because here's the thing. We know it's like Adam and He-Man. Obviously, I mean, yes, we know they know of each other being the same person, but that's more spoken of. You know, it's the central character of the story. But when it comes to Cringer and Battle Cat, yes, he's a very pivotal part of the story as well, but it's always about the secret identity of those two. You know, damn it, of course, yeah, they look similar, but we know that was just for cartoon purposes. But we know, since humanized, I guess, they can always know of each other, but it's like you never hear about Cringer battling the conflict about being so frightened and then Battle Cat being so strong and hating Cringer. But it feels like, okay, He-Man has the memory of Adam. Adam has the memory of He-Man. But when Adam becomes He-Man, he becomes this other character. He is He-Man. Like, that was shown better, of course, in MYP, of seeing the transformation of the smaller stature framed boy to the big man. But even they have still the same memories. But it's one super strong, one isn't the powered one. But they do have memories of each other. And that's why with Battle Cat Cringer, you have the smaller, frail, scaredy cat Cringer. And then when he transforms, bam, here comes the armor. He's bigger. He's strong. So they look so separate. So it's like they're, because the question was kind of in a way for what Geeks Do was saying in the chat room was, are they like separate, you know, entities? And like, in a way, yes, they are, because it's two different, but with the same memory. It's like the vessel is sharing the same memory, but they are two separate. You got the strong, fierce Battle Cat, the frightened Cringer. And then in the same kind of like that context, you have Prince Adam, who doesn't have the super strength, He-Man, who does, but they're two different, but I think same memory. At least that's how I've always felt, and to some degree. It's strange. It's a strange thing to say, because they are two different. I mean, they're different. I mean, okay, for picture this.
Yeah. But I mean, to me, they're the same. Like Adam, He-Man is what Adam wants to be. Cringer is, Battle Cat is what Cringer, you know, I think he would as much as he denies it, he realizes to it that, you know, I can't really say. I mean,
okay, Cringer
knows the benefits of becoming Battle Cat.
You know, yeah, just,
He really embodies what Adam pretends to be. You know, Adam is. Pretends to be careless and carefree when really he gets to shine through what kind of prince he is as He-Man. Whereas I take that back, because Cringer at times does not hesitate, and I will quote an episode that I'm not too particularly fond of, Into the Abyss, when Adam dismisses Teela, you know, says, "Look, that'll be all, Captain. I'm not training today. Leave me alone." And then Cringer gives him a piece of his mind. You know, it's just one of those things that Cringer is. He's not all, you know, I just want fish and cake and I want to sleep and run away from stuff. You know, there are times where he's quite smart and he rises to the occasion, like in Disappearing Act. Him and Orko have to go back to Pre-Eternia to get the power sword back. He's scared to death, but he goes along with it. Fraidy Cat, it's another episode. It's not a very good episode, but where he has to run around as Cringer. And
yeah, because it's like you said, they have the same memories, obviously. They share the same mind, but it's like two different forms, entities. Meaning this, because like Christopher Dahlberg, what he was kind of saying, which I see what he's saying, but like he said, well, Battle Cat seems to like a secondary character. They speak of each other as if they're different characters, yet He-Man is just Adam's superpower. Well, here's the thing that I see it as. The reason I could see Cringer saying, I don't want to become, you know, Battle Cat or whatever, because he's frightened. But when Battle Cat's frightened, you know, superpower, when it's you got Battle Cat, he's then talking about, like, let's say he did reference Cringer or maybe being a scaredy cat, because they're two different personalities. It's like all the bravery and power that could lie within creature or Cringer becomes Battlecat. So yes, they can, I guess, reference each other, but there's even been times when He-Man will say something, you know, as Adam, I'm this, or Adam says, as He-Man, you know, so that's what I mean. They do, both of them do reference each other. So I think
like it's said, the context of the conversation that they're having, you know, when He-Man's talking to Battlecat and says, you know, Cringer, you know, has come a long way or something like that. He's, you know, just saying it, you know, and just as just the, it's just the context of he's saying it, or as Prince Adam is telling Cringer, you know, or about Battlecat, like it's just the way they're talking. They're not hinting that they don't share the same. I mean, it's that the same character. They're just given an energy boost, essentially, is what Adam and Cringer are given. They had the same brain, same personality, same thoughts, memories. 15 seconds ago to 2 years ago, they remember everything. It's just within the context of the show, he's, you know, trying as Battlecat, He-Man will tell him something so that way when he becomes Cringer again, it's all right to feel this way, Battlecat. You know, you can go back to being Cringer and realize, you know, that's fine. You know, Cringer won't always be this way, but Battlecat always. I mean, it's just, you know, plus too, when you got people around too, you can't. You know, obviously, blow the secret identity, but between the two of them, I think that's just. I mean, I could have that conversation with Joe, like you know, when we first met, I was you know, probably a little bit more calm and collected. I got more comfortable with unleashing my anger and rage about certain things, and Joe could say, well, you know, Tyler from 5 years ago, he would have been perfectly fine with this. He probably wouldn't have gotten so, you know, angry. But like that's the kind of conversation I feel like they're saying. I know what he's talking about. I was there. I remember it. But he's not saying that he's talking to two different Tylers here.
So you're basically saying I bring out the anger and worst in people. Is that what you're saying, Tyler?
No, I know. Ripping new assholes here. Sorry about the language here, people. Sorry.
No, I get what you're saying. But no, it's just yeah, so in a way it is. I mean, I love the question. I mean, it's a great question. That's what I mean. It's never saying we're right about it's just our opinion of it. But
Chris and others, if they feel that, you know, that they, you know, I guess it goes back to our Scare Globe discussion in the previous episode. If you really want to believe that Scare Globe is the ghosts of Skeletor in your personal canon, then you have the right to think that way. Vast majority are not going to buy into that. And the same thing with Battlecat. You know, to me, they share the same thoughts and memories. They just refer to their alter ego, because I'm sure as Battlecat, he kind of looks down upon his cowardly self for acting that way, because when he becomes Battlecat, he fears nothing at all. And then as Cringer, the very idea of a fearsome battle cat, it probably just scares himself, you know, just because he's like, oh my God, and everything scares Cringer, even his strong alter ego scares him, just because that traumatizes a cat.
I think, like, again, MYP, they really did, I mean, they did it great with how they did it, because unlike Filmation, which were restricted and limited, obviously, because, you know, they used the same stock footage for most all characters. Everybody basically had that same damn build, which, you know, explains palette swipe of Adam, He-Man. Well, hell, even the toys, they used the same bucks. You might as well say the bucks and Filmation used everything. It still worked. But MYP, just like their toys that are all different, most of them have different sculpts, let's go to the cartoon. The cartoon had characters drawn in different proportions. So they did a perfect example of showing young boy Prince Adam, boom, big, muscular man, He-Man. But they, again, had the same memories, but to me, they always looked like different characters. Like, okay, well, the one episode in Filmation when He-Man lost his power sword, he was stuck. He was like, oh my God, I might be stuck as He-Man forever and never be Prince Adam again. He's going to be just He-Man now. But I think it shows better in MYP because they definitely look different. That's when I feel, you know what I mean, at least getting across of, hey, different characters, entities, but same brain. It's so touchy. It's such a strange, but I love it. That's why I love the question, is it just makes you just use your imagination, I guess. I don't know.
I feel like MYP, though, didn't do Cringer many favors.
No talking. Oh, I wish they all would have talked, though. He meowed like a cat.
Well, his voice probably wouldn't have been good. If Orko's voice wasn't very good and Evelyn's voice wasn't very good, Beastman's voice became bad. you know, I think Cringer would have been quite obnoxious with whoever they chose to do it. But it feels like it limits the character of Cringer when you just kind of give him a little kitty sound effect and then he just meows really loud and runs away. And then he, to save Adam, when he's being attacked by Tongue Lasher, comes by and bites Tongue Lasher's tongue and sends him flying back and says, "You got more battle cat in you than you realize, Cringer."
Yeah, I liked when he showed his, when he showed the bravery without transforming. And
overall, I mean, you know, Alan Oppenheimer did a really good job as Cringer in a lot of episodes. Sometimes he's portrayed a little obnoxious at times, but for the most part, he's a very likable, lovable, you know, loyal friend to He-Man, not just as Cringer, but as Battlecat as well. And
that was my biggest pet peeve, though, about the MYP cartoon. I just hated, you know, him, the meow thing. He sounded too much like a house cat. And also, no talking. I mean, hell, like I said, in many comics, you'd see him talking. And you'd see him talking in the cartoon as Cringer and Battlecat. And I missed that. I don't know. Some people said it worked. They said, "Hey, I'm glad he didn't talk. I didn't want Cringer or Battlecat to talk." But I missed it. I mean, it's a world of fantasy and magic. It's like, who cares? It's a talking tiger. And but, I don't know.
I mean, it's nice to have that dynamic of or that kind of relationship between He-Man and his steed. Because other than Bravestar, there's not a whole lot of heroes who have a steed that they can actually talk back and forth with. You know, I'm sure, yes, in mythology, yes, we've had various characters and stuff like that, animals who can talk and things like that. But an actual steed that you ride that you can actually talk to and things like that, like Stridor is depicted as a talkable character, and I always liked that as well.
Yeah, that was different. That was different. It's
interesting that Panthor doesn't talk, and I like the idea that Panthor doesn't talk. Like, I am more comfortable with Panthor always being a character that can't talk simply because he lets his ferocity speak for him. He doesn't need to talk, you know. Whereas, I'm kind of surprised if why that hasn't really been brought up. Why haven't people fussed that Panthor doesn't talk? But looking at Skeletor is the talkative. I mean, I don't know. I feel like, Skeletor doesn't need, like, even if he's just sitting in his throne room with Panthor, Skeletor's the type to just talk to himself, to talk out loud. He has a lot of inner monologue with himself and just kind of thinking about his latest scheme and plot and how he could get He-Man this way.
It makes him more evil. It's almost like when we talk, and I've mentioned before about, like, horror characters. Sometimes when the horror character doesn't talk, but they talk with their eyes and their motions, it makes it more frightening. And the thing, with Panthor, that does seem a more intimidating with his eyes, you know, being either yellow or green, whatever color I guess they want to choose. But he looks vicious. He looks wicked, which is why I didn't like one of the descriptions in the Golden Books, the old Golden Books, that actually described Panthor as when he comes face to face, like he looks wicked, ready to go. But when he comes face to face with Battlecat, he always runs away in fright. And I'm like, oh, that almost made him seem like a coward. I was like, no, I'd rather see them engaging in battle. So I never liked that description from the old Golden Books, but... No, some it works. Like in the chat room, they're going back and forth with it, which I love. Some say they like the talking. Some say they don't like the talking. And that's what's fun. It's just your taste, and your preference.
That's been an argument ever since NYP came out. People were arguing over they wanted Cringer and Matt. They were doing on the He-Man.org forums and various places. It was a constant argument. And I mean, at least Cringer wasn't written as a very, like, poor, overly offensive character where it just does a disservice to the character, but it just wasn't anything memorable. It was just, you know, a mute character that would just make the house cat noise, and that's really about it. And have one on a rare occasion do a heroic deed. But
I'm glad you said that. First, I want to say hello to Ryan Heath in the chat room. Thank you for joining us. But that is a really good point that I didn't even think of. I mean, you think about, like, the dialogue, some of the, you know, moments that Cringer would have speaking or Battle Cat and some good one-liners, whatever it may be, but it added to it and it made them memorable. But you're right, in MYP, Cringer, besides the time that, you know, I guess he got, you know, looked like Panthor, got, you know, the magic spell on him and then got to go get the power sword, give it to Prince Adam or however the hell it happened. But there's not many memorable things about Cringer. It's like Cringer, you can almost think of him most of the time in the whole damn Filmation cartoon, but in MYP, it just wasn't too much in the Battle Cat, and you always give me stuff for this. See, that's why it shows. Tyler doesn't always like what I like, and vice versa, and See, I hated how Battle Cat looked in NYP, and I hated that transformation, and oh, I just couldn't stand it. Just like I can't stand when He-Man turned into the Snake Armor. The Snake Armor is a cool-looking figure, and maybe cool-looking in the cartoon, but that transformation, oh, God, did I hate that. But Tyler likes that transformation, yeah, not me.
Transformation. I thought it was badass. I still think
it's badass. I just lost the oomph. It's like, pulls down his hands, like, oh, God, just... show me something else. That's what I was waiting.
They like the claw that comes out. It comes out. I mean, it's animated as if it comes out about 8 to 10 feet long, which is a bit ridiculous.
That's what I mean. It's over there
for close combat. When you've got a Snake Man coming at you, you know, snapping at you, the claw comes out, you know, a bit to snap their around their neck to keep them from getting any closer to you, and you strike the killer blow to them or the knockout punch or something like that. Not something that you fire and, you know, 8 feet out and grab somebody, then heave them over your head. I mean, that's a bit much.
Yeah, but it was a cool looking design. I just hated the transformation. Hated that transformation.
How do you like the design, but you don't like the transformation?
Okay, this is what I mean. You know, I love when like He-Man holds up that sword by the power of Grayskull and boom, and the muscles splurging and becoming He-Man when it's the regular transformation with the sword. But this one just, they did too much of the damn Snake Armor and this, it's like, I didn't get chills. Like, I got chills when I seen him first do it at MYP, and then they did the other little modification where he still has the harness, you know, and that look with the sword. But something about that Snake Armor transformation just bleh. It's like, okay, new adventures. Cartoon, it would take getting used to for some people to start liking and liking, but there's still one thing for a fact I hate. I hate that damn transformation in New Adventures of He-Man. It is the most bland, non-impactful, just... it's like, okay, I'm going to sleep now. Just like the intro for New Adventures. The cartoon, with its, you know, going on and having continuity, stories got better and better. That was good, but you can never sell me on that transformation in New Adventures. Holy moly. Joe's not a fan of that one.
You said you didn't like the introduction to New Adventures cartoon.
No, I don't like the new... I didn't like that either. I just hate it. Just the music. I want to go to church. It's just, I hate the music and the whole thing.
The opening to New Adventures of He-Man, there's certain, I mean, look, yes, the character models of the New Adventures, yes, they look like Hanna-Barbera's Bible adventure character. Yes, they do. There's no denying that.
Right.
All right, but that opening sequence, the animation is superior to the actual animation in the show. It's faster.
It is. It's good.
It's sharper. It's not blurry. You know, a lot of those deep cartoons, I always had like a blurry feel to how they were shot, from, you know, certain episodes of Ghostbusters to Cops, Inspector Gadget.
I didn't feel the music. I guess the music just sucked me out of the moment. I just, maybe I was too spoiled with Thundercats with having the most badass.
I'm quite all right. Like, I guess New Adventures, the cartoon is not the greatest cartoon by any means. I've said before time and time, I'm not going to defend the cartoon. I defend the idea, the characters, the look.
I agree.
That yes, the cartoon, yes, it is a hard sell. I cannot deny that.
But the story gets better. It has a good story, a keep evolving story, which it is engrossing. Yeah.
But it's goofy, very goofy at times, where it's like, ugh, you know, and they've got a lot of bad voice acting on the show. They don't, I mean, there's characters that could be portrayed very, very well that aren't. Which just shows you there's a lot of potential with the roster of heroes and villains. It's just unfortunate they're not treated with respect, which is what always go when the Four Horsemen and now Super 7 are releasing New Adventures characters. See, I told you, you look at Quake, you may not like him in the cartoon, but it doesn't mean he's not a badass character.
So. Yeah, that's the great thing. You can always have fantastic looking figures, even if you maybe didn't like the cartoon or how they looked. They can always turn them into cool figures, which I guess it will just transition right into Once Upon a Time, which is an episode of New Adventures of He-Man where Teela makes her, you know, only appearance, first and only appearance. And there's been, again, I haven't researched this, maybe Tyler has, but Teela looks, of course, in this episode, nothing like Teela, but you can say the same for every single character. I mean, you say for Prince Adam, the Sorceress, Skeletor, they all look so vastly different, and Prince Adam from what we're used to. But I don't know if it was a fact, which I know somebody will probably tell me after the podcast, but the concept of Teela that was used for that cartoon, I thought some said maybe the artists were looking at model sheets of She-Ra when they did it. And that's what explains the blonde hair, the similar kind of, in a way, a tiara. But I was like, I don't know. Is that a fact or is that just a theory?
I would dig another animation company, a French animation company, look towards competition and say, okay, let's do what they did and bring back one of the original characters and use one. No, that makes no sense at all. It's just strictly that was their take on it. I mean, I don't know the for sure answer about that, but logically, why would Deke want to use Filmation? It just with Teela, and not even use the actual likeness of Teela, but we're going to use She-Ra. Now that makes no sense. It's like people are just desperate to try and find connections so they can sit there and say, I connected that Teela was modeled after She-Ra. I'm like, no, you didn't.
That's what I was hoping.
I saw that look of Teela. I didn't think She-Ra at all. It was afterwards. Like, people think that's She-Ra. What are they thinking? No, it's not She-Ra. And no, I don't think for a second that Teela is modeled after She-Ra at all.
It was a unique look. I liked it. Just like every other character had a distinct different look.
It's a complete different upgrade. And yes, they did not go through a whole lot of changing or showing He-Man's original look or a look that would fit the early adventures on Eternia.
They all look so different.
Other than King Randor and Queen Marlena, who were given a similar Filmation look.
I like that, yeah.
Spot on. So
even Snake Mountain kind of got a look of looking like Snake Mountain to a degree.
Yeah. Yeah, and but even then, I still, maybe they looked at a few things, but why? Why would they take She-Ra and decide to make Teela out of She-Ra?
What
would be the purpose in doing that, though? These people that have said that.
Yeah, that's funny. I like I said, I didn't research. I seen that. That was actually posted on my wall months ago, but I never knew. I never knew the answer to it, so I was just didn't know if you might, but that's what I mean. I always like a different interpretation. But in this episode of New Adventures, you know, like I said, you guys would have to watch it. You know, if you're new to New Adventures, and still, just give it a shot.
This is not the episode to get started on.
It's not, but just to let them know if they're thinking, hey, Teela, it's like, yeah, it's different, but it's still cool to see. And it's an interesting episode where Skeletor is obsessed on getting these books of evil. Once he gets the whole volume, you know, the Encyclopedia Britannica or whatever of Primus, I don't know. But once he gets them all, yes, he'd have all the power. But, of course, He-Man is feeling homesick, thinking about going back home. Not sure if he should or can. But, you know, the sources let him know you're still needed here in the future. That's always been... I've always had problems with time-traveling shows, things. I mean, Back to the Future, don't get me wrong, like Back to the Future, but, you know, you can nitpick anything, and I always think, okay, he's going to the future, he has to save the future, and eventually he'll go back to the past. It's like, isn't there a way of sending some warnings for eventually in the future to have this happen, look out for the mutants? I think too ahead and too much. That's why I was like, I'm thinking too much into it, which makes you almost not like or ruin something, so I don't like doing that. So I'm like, oh, here we go with the time travel. But anyways, yeah, he's thinking that he'd like to be, you know, going back to Eternia. But the sorcerer says you're still needed here. And during one of these battles, at some point, yes, you see the skies open up, they're cracking and everything. And I did like that scene. That was pretty cool. Like, what the hell is going on? And boom, something strikes to the ground, and then out comes Teela. It was so cool to see. And you find out later that the sorceress, there's like a time rift. And that was the only way she was able to let Teela come for this momentary time to help He-Man and to help with his, I guess, homesickness. Like, this calmed him down. So he's seen somebody from where he, you know, came from, but he can still stay in the future, do what he has to do. But yeah, it's cool moments. There was a lot of battles. I mean, you had Quake. But my God, that's like, He-Man got hit by Butthead, I believe, like twice, two times in a row with this running butt. I was like,
on his butt, no pun intended, multiple times by Butthead. So it just kind of made it, at least the villains, the mutants were portrayed as legitimate physical threats.
Yeah, and Teela was, you know, swift enough to where he did the running at her, she moved out the way, but you see He-Man get hit like twice, you know, by Butthead, which I was saying, okay, how many times you got to see him running from a mile away before you move? But they get the gist of it. But no, there's a lot of action within it. But I'll pass it to you. So, I mean, it's not a super fantastic episode, but it also isn't a stinker, but it's good for what it was.
I mean, I feel like there's good, this, a lot about this show too, there's a lot of good ideas that's in New Adventures, and it just comes down to brightening up for the kids and dumbing it down, as opposed to making this a fun action adventure show for kids where you know, and not feel like you've got to constantly put cotton candy colors around every situation. And you know, you've got this kind of like small love triangle between Teela and Mara and He-Man, and of course Mara's depicted as looking kind of frumpy in this episode. You kind of feel like, oh, why would He-Man give her like second look? You know, and you got beautiful Teela, and I do like the look of a New Adventures Teela with this kind of space, kind of Valkyrie look to her. I mean,
probably a cool figure.
If they had made a New Adventures Teela figure, I'd be cool with that. Now, I don't need it. I don't want it. I mean, like I must have, like, no, not at all. If they made it, I'd be cool with it because it's a decent design. But it's just kind of, you know, all over the place. There's this obsession of watching this dragon flower. I forgot what it's called.
Flower. Yeah, something that blooms, yeah.
Yeah, that blooms. You're like, well, why is this mentioned an awful lot when it has no real place in the story.
Yeah, I wasn't understanding that, you know, too much as well. I was like,
missing something here. Why is this flower being brought up so many times? And it's just, they end it with, oh, watch it bloom. Isn't it great? Well, let's go home.
Yes, I mean, they really, really,
really built it to death. And it's just a flower that looks like a butterfly when it blooms. That's about it. So, you know, and they had Sagittar in there, and I think Spinwit? I think when they're on a picnic, and they just kind of disappear all of a sudden.
Oh, so yeah, because I forgot who else was on that picnic. You're right, that was quick with that picnic. I know I've seen Sagittar, and then Adam, and Mara, and I can't remember who else was there. You're right, that was quick. Which, in fact, the one thing that, you know, I know there's color errors, but at the end of the episode when they're given the moral about, you know, stick with the partner so you don't get lost in the woods or whatever, and Sagittar is walking with Mara, when they showed him towards the end in two completely different type of drawn panels, it's not like it was the same scene, they made his entire helmet blue. Now, when you first seen him walking, you see the red helmet, the kind of visor that he has, but then suddenly everything turned blue here, blue here, blue here, blue, and it was two different. I was like, what happened there? How did they miss that? I mean, Sagittar, it's red. I don't know, that drove me nuts. I always hate color errors when it's really blatant, not like a quick little scene of, oops, that was a quick animation shot for a second, but it was really prominent. Drove me nuts.
I mean, yeah, you have to wonder how things get past the editor like that, but I'm sure when they've got so much on their plate, just, the hell with it, forget it, let it go, and, you know, as a kid, stuff like that would bother me, because I guess in their eyes, they're just thinking, it's for kids, they're not going to complain, they're not going to notice. I'm like, no, you voice actors that are voicing characters that, you know, have the wrong voice and stuff like that, or color errors, or the power source drawn, you know, irregular, it looks odd or something in this scene, and you know, it's just, as an adult I get why it was, but as a child, you know, you don't miss that kind of stuff. We weren't stupid, you know. I regardless of what, not that I'm saying that the people who worked on these cartoons thought the children were stupid, but I'm sure they probably thought we were not going to be paying attention to that kind of stuff, you know, as if like we wouldn't notice. And you know, it was irritating at times, but you know, I just look at it as one of those things when you get an idea of what all goes into providing a 22-minute cartoon for kids, mistakes are going to happen. So I have a much more forgiving mindset about stuff like that.
There's also some fun little nod to something that, now usually, sometimes, you know, it isn't a cartoon, you see something for one scene, but when they go to a whole different, you know, setting, usually everything resets back to normal. The one thing I did like was when Skeletor was practicing the spells and doing everything out of this Book of Evil, and he did one to Flog that made him go upside down and floating. That was inside, like, you know, their lair or whatever. And then a while later, when they showed up and, you know, they're around He-Man and all the rest of them, when they appeared, you seen Flog is still floating next to Skeletor upside down. I thought that was just, for me, I got the biggest kick out of it. I was like, he's still got the poor guy upside down who's attacking. Remember, Flog is trying to use his, you know, weapons upside down shoot at He-Man. It's like, that was a charm to that, I guess.
At least they're keeping up with continuity with that. You know, they the animators and the script, all the stars were aligned with that to keep up with a joke that was not really funny. I wouldn't have laughed at it as a kid, but...
But seeing it now as an adult, you appreciate that they went through that extra effort of actually carrying that little gag to the next setting.
They kept up with continuity. No, it doesn't bring a smile to my face or a chuckle or anything like that, but I appreciate the attention to detail. That because in children's cartoons gets thrown by the wayside an awful lot. When you go back and watch a lot of classic cartoons, and it's not always the case, but when they do keep up with that, you're like, you know what? They didn't have to do that. They could have gotten lazy and cut corners, but they didn't. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, no, most definitely. So that is, like I said, it's a good, you know, not a blockbuster, but it's a decent episode. So that's our thought on that.
Hey, it's certainly not something that. Like I said, if you're listening to this and you still haven't given New Adventures a shot, this is not the episode to start it out on. I'd start with the first episode, oddly enough. It was a good episode. It's my favorite episode. The scientists aren't in it. Just look at it that way.
the good old scientists, no doubt.
That's something that I try to find something nice to say about a lot of He-Man characters other than King Grayskull. I won't say anything nice about him, period.
No, but that
is an unforgivable creation done for comic relief. As a child, I thought, oh, man, these guys are irritating. You know?
Oh, gracious. Well, let me say, so that's been the conversation on that. Well, we'll move into our final topic, but before that, Adam Gabbert in the chat room asked, what were your thoughts on the movie Teela? Oh, man, she was hot. Oh, God, I loved her.
Teela ever. Best Teela ever.
Yeah, it was nice seeing her in real life in a, it's, of course, outfit different from what we've seen, but it wasn't like cybernetic 500 pounds of armor. It was just her in a different outfit, but...
You bought that. Like, Man-at-Arms' outfit looked like Man-at-Arms' outfit. It was just black and gray. And Teela's outfit, she had the tiara on her head, and she used a pistol, and she was feisty, and...
Yeah, portrayed strong. She wasn't, like, scared or running. Right.
Female, you know, she was very tenacious, you know. She wanted to find the cosmic key. It was like, Dad, we're not going to save, you know, we got to find the key. Like, that's all she's focused on. You know, so I love that. That is my favorite portrayal. I thought she was mean to Gwildor as a kid. I was like, leave him alone. Stop giving him crap.
Poor Gwildor. But no, yeah.
I'm in love with her. I'm like, God, she's beautiful. I would just...
And they portrayed, like I said, they portrayed her great. Yeah. I like seeing that aggressive female warrior, just like everybody else there that's there for the fight, isn't always given... Well, there is no Prince Adam then in this episode. You know how I wish you'd gave him a hard time, like in the cartoon. But at least we didn't have to see that portrayal for Maggie.
I have to see that, yeah. I wouldn't have wanted to see Teela busting him. I mean, look at him. You really going to bust Dulce balls in this movie? And that's why she's going to, you know, get all over Gwildor.
There you go. Yeah, I guess you have to get somebody for that. But, well, now just moving to the last topic. As you know, Valentine's Day is coming up in a couple days, so we were thinking... What are some of the best, or what would you like to see as some of the best couples in Masters, seeing people paired up? So, for He-Man, I'll pass it to you first, Tyler. Who would you see He-Man maybe getting with, cartoon, comics, whatever? What would be your good couple with He-Man and somebody?
I was going to go with Frosta.
You'd like to go with Frosta? Yeah, exactly.
I had such a thing for Frosta when I saw Dolet Devlin as a kid. And when I'd see in the opening sequence, I thought, "Oh man, Frost is so pretty." And the early years of the internet, and you hear about the infamous episode, where Frost is all over He-Man. And I really wanted to see that episode. I'm like, oh wow, it's like, you know, He-Man and Frost. I'm like, oh man, good for He-Man. He's getting with that hot Frost. This is great, man. You know, so yeah, I've always had a thing for Frost. She's my favorite of the Great Rebellion. But then again, too, Cast a Spell is hot. She had a thing for Prince Adam as well, too. So, man, He-Man and Prince Adam, man, they have his, you know, choice after choice of choice of beautiful women.
Yeah, talk about so I,
what's that?
No, I was going to say, talk about different identities. He-Man could be with a couple. Prince Adam could, because it's like, hey, they're separate characters.
That's what makes He-Man so great is that, you know, Prince Adam can date Cast a Spell, and then he can date Frost as He-Man. And if they have a tiff, then he can, you know, he can take Glimmer in one personality, and then take
Sweet Bee
in another.
Yeah,
you know, he's got it worked out great, man. He-Man slash Prince Adam is the ultimate player, the most powerful player in the universe.
And how about that for a dilemma? You're married as one character and another. You got two different homes. You're now going
that, to. That's the She-Ra episode we should have seen, where Prince Adam makes a date with Cast a Spell, and He-Man makes a date with Frost. And on top of having to fight, you know, Dial-A-Mug and Grizzler in this episode, he's got to try and balance two dates out, much like Superman and Superman 4, where he's got a date with, you know, two women here going back and forth, transform. You're like, oh, man, this would be great.
Yeah, it is. Because it's almost like... That's even kind of like, you know, when you think about it with She-Ra, with Seahawk and Bo. Some people said, I don't know, maybe Adora has the thing for Bo, but She-Ra's got the thing for Seahawk. It's like, well, here we go again. She-Ra's...
Seahawk, Adora has a thing for Seahawk. Bo
there you go. I screwed up, but either way, hey, two different characters, two different people. It's like, it's funny the dynamic of that. If they're two different characters and they'd be two different, are they cheating? Would you consider that cheating? I don't think so. I don't know.
Because no one knows that they're the same person. One of these women is going to be sorely disappointed at some point. Adam or He-Man is going to have to break a date with one of these girls to make it up with the other girl. But then he's going to have to cancel with... If he makes dinner with Frosta, he's going to have to cancel going ice skating with Cast a Spell. But the next day, he's going to have to cancel going ice skating with Frosta so he can have dinner and movie with Cast a Spell.
And that's when you have Teela, finally, she can't take it anymore. She finds out Adam slash He-Man's secret and says... If you don't start dating me as one of your personalities, I'm going to blow the whistle. They're all going to find out about what's going on. So you better date me before I tell Frost or Cast a Spell what's going on. He-Man slash Adam's got to break it off with both of them to go with Teela. So Teela can have Adam and He-Man and finally have, I guess, her dream person all wrapped up in one. She finally finds out the secret. And that's how Adam and Teela, or He-Man and Teela, get together.
You could never write daytime soap operas with that kind of logic.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody dying every few seconds. Wait, they're back alive again. Wait, that's my cousin that I'm married to. It's like, what kind of nonsense? Yeah, that's never been my thing to watch. But...
No. But Driel and Orko is a good couple, of course. Skeletor and Evil-Lyn.
Oh, hold on. You know, and I said it to you before, but for me, Skeletor and Evil-Lyn could be cool, but no, I want to put Clawful and Evil-Lyn, especially after their encounter together. It's like, you know, after Clawful did the tightrope thing and it falls and trips into Evil-Lyn, and his face is like basically right in her breast, and he's looking up, and then they kind of look at each other, and then they turn back, you know, like side to side back, and give this kind of look like there's a little underlying hint that, maybe they kind of liked each other, but I can't admit this. Like, could you imagine those two getting together and having babies with magic and claws?
Grabby with her breasts there and everything like that. Giving Evil-Lyn the ultimate titty twister with his, you know.
No need for the clamps to attach. He's got his own. That's pretty terrible. That would be. No, but I don't know. I sometimes there's a certain charm in seeing people that look so opposite maybe get together. Like, it's a pretty much a no-brainer, as it was kind of like explored in MYP, but it's a no-brainer to think, oh yeah, Skeletor, Evil-Lyn, magic users, both evil, working together, blah, blah, blah. But I was like, I don't know, I like that little element of Clawful and Evil-Lyn for whatever reason. That just, it stuck with me ever since I seen it in the cartoon. I was like, I kind of like that. I kind of seen them being a Valentine's couple. Let them be together.
Clamp Champ Natasa, you know, she's a master of capture. He is, you know, kind of he's the master of capture.
Capture, yeah.
He uses the net almost just for, like, because of their gimmicks alone, they make a great couple of capturing people. So
they're the perfect catch for each other.
Cool muscular dude. She's a beautiful woman. So I can see that. Let's see. Glimmer is really hot, and Cyclone and Glimmer.
Oh wait, No. I just had it in my brain.
Yellow.
What did you say?
Stratos and Queen Angela.
No, I was actually going to say, when you seen Cyclone, I was going to say, what about Spinnerella, since they both kind of had that spin.
Yes, Spinnerella and Cyclone. Yes. Yeah. I completely goofed that one. I was just trying to, Glimmer's really hot, and Cyclone's my favorite heroic warrior, so I just...
Could you put Perfuma and Moss Man together for a couple, or is that a little too odd? Hey,
they would go, see, yeah, we're not, if, look at, think of it this way, we're putting people together who have similar gimmicks because they have common interests, they have common things together, so we're fixing these cool guys here with these beautiful women up because they share the same interests. Mossman has affinity for sweet-smelling plants and things. Perfuma has an affinity for sweet-smelling plants and flowers and things like that. Goes natural to get Spinnerella and Cyclone, Plant Champ and Natasa.
Yeah.
Now we got something going here. Let's see. Yeah.
See, some of the gimmicks work together perfect. Like I said, sometimes opposite attracts were good, but like in the chat room,
Wheat Bee and Buzz Off. Whereas Buzz Off, if you're awful and evil in, you know, Buzz Off is a bee guy, a bee man, you know, whereas Sweet Bee is she's more human than bee, but she has bee qualities there. Like, they're her and her whole colony. So I kind of feel like you could kind of... Sweet Bee, I'd buy that first.
I had a horrible thought, you know, thinking of Perfuma and all her flowers, and then Buzz Off, you know, bees pollinating flowers. They'd be, hey, wait a second, we might have a combination with Perfuma and Buzz Off.
Then maybe you could make a love triangle or a quartet.
I don't know if that was me.
We lost him.
Okay, I was just going to say... Oh, there he is.
I had a goof there.
You know, I was just going to say, there was a reason I was absolutely quiet, is I know that there's times where it looks like it glitches, and I think, oh, wait a second, that's just me and my horrible internet connection. But when Dirt just popped up and said that, I was like, oh, wait a second, there was a slight issue. But at least you're back. But,
back now.
Well, you missed in the chat room, there was a couple others, Christopher Dahlberg, Skeletor and Shakoti. Never thought of that. That's interesting. That's
because they got blue skin. I don't want to hear any more blue skin. Oh, they're all
no. I like the idea of just magic users both looking wicked, and also
absolutely. Skeletor and Shakoti.
Yeah, and Jackie Miller, Man at Arms and Sorceress. Well, yeah, I always wanted to think they were together. Anyways, I'd always like to think that maybe there could have been a little something going on there, but. I like that. I like that idea. I mean, Sorceress got to have somebody, and Man-at-Arms is there to take care of what has to be done.
Yeah, no, I would buy. I would put those two together. I'll look back at the shelf here for a second.
And while you're looking, Necropep.
Manny Faces.
What did you say? Double Trouble, Manny Fit? Yeah, that's another gimmick. I guess definitely they can show their moods and emotions quicker. But who did I just lose? Oh, Necropath. Said, how did I lose what he just said? Oh, it's because this thing keeps updating. Said, oh, Shadow Weaver, you know, minus the robe, think about it. I'm curious. I know her face is supposed to be frightening, but...
Probably got all decrepit, saggy boobs underneath there. They look voluptuous underneath there.
Oh, don't say that.
They're very nice to look at when she removes the robe there. Oh, Tulsar and Extendar.
Oh my god, now we are really putting the similar gimmicks once they start going together. Even though, like I said, the opposite thing works at times too.
Or Mechanic. There's a love triangle for you.
Yeah, oh god. And if I was to take away my pick of Evil and Clawful, you can always put Scorpia and Clawful together, both of their bits of claws, so that could be cool.
Bristar gone.
Yeah, because you can't have Granada, because I don't know if they could be related. I'm not sure.
Well, I mean, they put Granada with Stonedar and give a Crystar rock on. And then you got Mermista and Merman.
See, there's some of the...
Like, she's, you know, Merman tries to be a better guy in front of her, but he can't help but still be an evil warrior regardless. But there's that kind of, you know... He's attracted to her, so to speak, but
and the one that's left alone by himself is poor Trapjaw. He can't kiss nobody. He can barely grab anybody with just one hand. What poor Trapjaw? I feel for the guy. I don't think he's got a match. You're not going to get a match for Chad Brad, Hall. I'm not going to say.
Where I'm like, you know what? I'm not going down that path.
Exactly. We'll just leave that alone. But no, like I said, we just wanted to.
The realms of comic book resources and their oh so wonderful writing.
Right. It's like some go, hey, wait a second. You know, it's Jackie Miller just said Battle Cat and Catra, but that reminds me, wasn't Battle Cat and Katrina had this kind of like a little attraction with each other in that episode?
And I think for Catra would no way go for either one of them. You know, Catra would mouth off and Battle Cat would knock the hell out of her like he did in Secret of the Sword, and then the helmet comes off and she's back to being regular Catra again.
Right.
Have a thing for Cringer either, because she'd be smacking Cringer around. Cringer would just be scared of her the whole time.
Or unless maybe she would be the one to bring the bravery out. Maybe she would smack the scared out of him, and suddenly Cringer's getting real tough. He's got a backbone now because of Catcher. Like,
power sort of turn him into Battle Cat. He takes, you know, he's like, all right, I'm just pulls an Archie Bunker under there. trying to think what one more crazy couple we could throw together here.
I've been trying the whole time to think of somebody for Stinkor, but I can't think of anybody for Stinkor. The whole time I was trying to do that, and I couldn't.
You know, he's like the dork in high school. He's got a thing for like the real attractive cheerleader, you know, and she's like, you know, tries to be let him down gently, but Mossman has her affection. So therefore, you know, he's got a thing against Mossman because he's got the girl that he desperately wants, but he can't have.
There you go.
Classic soap opera of love on Eternia and Etheria here, people.
There. So, yeah. So, we had to just... Oh, and Aaron in the chat room said Panthor and Pretty Kitty. Hey, why not? The Panthor has some loving, too. Pretty Kitty. Yeah,
or Panthor's got to have... Catra.
Or Claudine. Put Claudine and Panthor together. You could...
Yeah. Either one was Pretty Kitty and Panthor. Panthor could be like the purple pimp daddy. Of the cats there, where he's flirting around with Claudine and Pretty Kitty.
Yeah, and Ryan Heath in the chat room said Modulok. I'm like, hey, Modulok can make himself into his own date, as many thousand parts he can become. I guess he's his own date. I have no clue.
Modulok's going to be staying home playing with himself. Is that what you're trying to say?
So it's like, I don't know. Modulok, I don't know, you're pretty set off, I think, by yourself, because I can't think of a date for Modulok. But like I said, this was just a little silly fun. We had to have fun. It was Valentine's Day coming up. Wanted to do some couples, so we did that just to ease up the tension, have a little fun. So, well, before we do wrap this up, Tyler, you got anything to announce, shout-outs, anything? What you got for us before we wrap it up, and then I'll do my closing?
Shout-outs for PowerCon. They're selling tickets for that and reservations for the hotel that they're hosting PowerCon. So,
Hold on, wait. One quick thing. Peter Lane. Well, first Necropath said Modulok and Multibot, but Peter Lane just said Roboto and Attack Track. You guys got to stop because we're gonna start laughing and keep going all night.
Yeah, about having sex with a vehicle. Practically talking, you know, in the realms of bestiality, except vehiculality or something like that.
Oh, jeez. All right, so
girl who married a roller coaster.
Wait, what did you say?
Yeah, that was about a real girl. I think she had some mental problems, though, too, but she married her.
Oh, okay. Well, okay. No, I never heard of that. I almost had to quit looking at the chat room because there's too many good things. If they keep doing it, I'm going to keep looking and laughing. I almost got to stop. So, go ahead. You were saying the places that you're recommending.
Oh, yeah. Just take a survey for PowerCon. It's this August 25th and 26th, I believe. So if you're interested in going to that, you know, I'm sure they'll be announcing guests for that as well. But PowerCon's around the corner, so you get your tickets for that. Check out Axel Jimenez's artwork. Check out Kevin Sharp's artwork. Joe Mondo's Customs. You know, all our episodes are available on YouTube and on my Facebook, Joe's Facebook. You know, we encourage listeners, people in the chat room right now, or people who listen to this at sometime down the road, send us topics you want us to talk about. Is there a mini comic or an episode of the cartoons you want us to do a commentary for, a review of, or a character that you want us to go back and revisit? You know, we got a lot of gas in the tank to go back and talk about Cobra Khan again, or talk about Roboto or Buzz Off. We could do it all over and not have the same conversation twice. So we've got a lot of stuff and possibilities we can do there. So
there's a lot.
I don't think I really got anything else to share or promote or suggest. So
okay. All right. Yeah. Well, now next week I'll try to do a big shout out, because sometimes people ask me, Joe, you know, I usually mention always the same Facebook groups. Like, why don't you mention some of the others? You know, I did at one time, but it's like there's so many. Sometimes I forget one. I never wanted to, you know, get somebody upset. But there's like a lot of new ones popping up on Facebook. And, of course, a lot of the ones that have been there are still just as fantastic. So next week, I promise, I'll just, for that episode at the end, I'm going to give a shout out to all these new groups. Because there was one in particular called The Slime Pit, which is a cool new group that was started up on Facebook recently. And it's a fun place. Like I said, people do some of their videos showing maybe stuff in their collection, just sharing stuff like we do. And I see they do buy, seller, and trading also. But that was just one I wanted to give a shout out to just quickly. But next week, I'll acknowledge them all. And hopefully I won't leave any of those groups out, because I never mean to offend anybody. I will try to give everybody some, you know, good exposure. Now, before I do my last things, there's a couple artists. I mean, first there's Chris Spicone, who does fantastic, amazing art. Chris, you were mentioning some artists. You can always check him out on Facebook as well. But another guy that he did something for me that I can't wait to show next week. He was taking requests on certain characters. You know, he was doing some drawings for other people, and he was like, Joe, he's like, man, he's like, you know, would you want me to draw you up some, you know, character? I was like, man, you don't have to do that. I said, I appreciate it, but don't. He's like, no, I'd like to, you know, and I said, I'll tell you what, I want you to draw the most obscure person in Masters history. I was like, could you do Zuva Rex?
Yep.
And he said, what's a Zuva Rex? And I sent him the picture. He did his take. And like I said, Sean Scabarna, and you can find him, well, on Facebook as from that name, and also on Facebook, he has a page called The Artistic Geekdom of Sean Scabarna. And that's Sean, it's S-H-A-W-N. Scavarna is S-K-V-A-R-N-A. But Tyler, today he just showed me the final piece for Zuva Rex. I mean, it blew me away. If any picture could make people think, damn, that character is a badass, this is something. And I should have it here hopefully by next week. And Sean, I really appreciate you doing that for me. You didn't have to, but he liked that I put him up to this new, crazy new challenge of a character that he's never seen and almost nobody knows. So I can't wait to show that, because it really is, it's cool as heck. I was just floored by Zuva Rex. And for the people listening again, like, what the hell is a Zuva Rex? It's from that role-playing game, the board/role-playing game that I showed one episode where Tyler looked like he wanted to reach through the actual screen and choke me when I did this trivia of Hangman. He's like, who the hell is this? His reaction was classic, that Joe brings up this obscure nonsense, but it's a cool character. He deserves more respect. Hashtag Zuva Rex. So, all right. Well, now let me just say my closing things that I always say. Go to fansofpower.com, go to popculturenetwork.com, go to HeManWorld.com, and on Facebook, go to Masters of the Universe He-Man and Shira Ultimate Fan Group. All great places, all great people. So until next time. Oh, and again, before I say have a powerful day, thank you, everybody in the chat room. We love having you. Your interaction tonight was amazing. I hope I got to every one of you, but it was a blast. I love the interaction. Thank you so much. We love having you every week, and we hope you, of course, enjoy the show as well. And
that's the word. Encourage other people to come in and join you as well. That we want everybody to be constantly participating in the podcast and sharing thoughts and questions for the moment. Always improv. That's what we take great pride in doing this podcast, is that we may have prepped what we're going to talk about, but we don't have rehearsed what we're going to talk about, even if it's spur of the moment, stuff like that. So we encourage that. So
yeah,
thanks for taking time out of your schedules to sit down and listen to us here.
Exactly. And we hope you're here next week. We really loved having you. So until next time, have a powerful day.
Wise men say forgiveness is divine, but never pay full price for late pizza.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Which one?
I'm saying that's, shit, he has to do that to me. You know what I said? Wise men say. Okay, let me do a guess, which means I don't really have the knowledge. I'm going to say, what's it, part two?
You moron.
I should have said one. It was one, wasn't it? I was going to say one. Why did you do that thing? I was going to say one. I lost again. Joe loses every week. Remember, guys, I got...
Take nunchucks and just smack the hell out of you with them.
I got a hot streak of losing every single week. I get one once in a while, but all right, guys. Thanks again.
You almost had last week's, right? You just started bouncing out all over the place.
See, I got people yelling at me in the chat room. Tom Charlton's like, come on, Joe. So, sorry. He said, come on, Joe. And then he said, for the love of God. So, sorry about that.
Yes, I would encourage that. Each week, you people just give Joe a lot of grief when he can't get these quotes that, as popular culture fans as we all are, Joe ought to know better. Even when I quote Friday the 13th, he's like, Richard.
Here we go. One episode where I screwed up on the Friday the 13th quote with Shelley. I just, damn it, but I know my Friday the 13th. And don't try to test me next week. I know you're going to, but I'll get it. Okay. Jackie Miller says maybe I should try to give you one sometime. Yeah, Jackie Miller, maybe I will. We'll see if Tyler gets it. He probably will, and of course, make me look stupid, but hey, I'm used to that. So, all right. Yeah, yes, you do. I can tell. So, thanks, guys. See you next week.
See you next week.